right?
Right on. Who's that? Bebop Deluxe or somebody?
No. Rush? Liz, you know who it is?
Is it Rush?
No.
Is it Journey?
This is so great. Now I'm doing the intro records, and you guys don't know what it is. And you can't place it.
Sounds like Journey or somebody.
No. How dare you? This is from October of 1973. It is Three Dog Night.
This is Three Dog Night.
Yeah. This is the happy song.
Oh, my God, it is.
Oh, I hear now.
How great is this? This is from the Cyan record.
Right, okay, yeah.
What I've been doing is going on to Discogs, and there's a random item button that you press, and it basically says you're listening to this today, which
now,
I love.
Does it pick the album or the song itself?
The album, rather.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Just put this record on.
That's pretty cool.
Because I have my entire collection on that website there, Discogs. I think I posted it on the social media stuff before, but...
I do that on my iPod Touch, Ryan.
Yeah, good, okay.
I have one of those.
How great are these old Three Dog Night albums?
I have this album.
And the shirtless Floyd Sneed is rocking.
Yes.
Yeah, they were good.
These all the records are great, and there's clunkers here and there, but they're only
$2
each.
So great. Pick up every Three Dog Night record you
can
find.
No shit,
right?
Mm-hmm. I love this stuff. And I'm one away from having all of them.
I think I
am,
too.
The one with that comes in a box, whatever that one's name is.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, they're all good, yeah.
It's got the little...
flip-top box.
Yeah. I just got that one. That's cheap. You can find that one.
I know. I just haven't, because it's a giant box.
It's my Beyonce song. It's a giant box.
We are modeling our Beyonce album after that packaging.
It's a giant box.
Yeah. Well, shall we get cracking, y'all?
Let's crack something.
All right.
Release the Kraken.
Tonight, what do you say we have a rock and roll party?
Come on, boy!
Abbey Road Records Show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Abbey Road Records Show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
Well, hey, Lama!
Hey, Lama!
The Shabby Road Record Show is on the air, your hipster-free vinyl podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McKay. And now, the first record he bought when it came out was Thomas Edison speaking Mary Had a Little Lamb in 1877. A.D. Adams!
I still have that on cassette. I made a copy of it. Yeah. Well, welcome to another Drunk Day's Night here at the Shabby Road Studio, the place that even the Sunny Slope bums call that shithole where those losers hang out. It looks like we're in for another night of big fun and classic vinyl and God knows what else, so let's get this clown car on the road, shall we? I got records!
All right, me too. This is episode 180. Thank you guys very much for tuning in.
Maybe we can turn 180 degrees and maybe have a good show.
This is the one where we turn
this boat around, Captain.
Yeah, let's get those ratings back up to where they used to be before Libsyn changed their rating system.
Fuckers.
But thank you guys for doing stuff on the social media thing. You guys are posting awesome records and contacting us through Twitter, Facebook, and our new Instagram, which has album covers. If we're talking about album art, we're posting it on Instagram and funneling it through all the social media stuff. So that's all at Shabby Podcast. Come on over and hang with us. And also, don't forget, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite app that you're using. It doesn't cost you anything to keep the shabby fun heading into your phone week after week. It just automatically arrives, and you'll never miss any crazy record.
It's kind of like fucking magic.
Discussion.
It's like magical. Yes. It's like David Copperfield in a radio with with a computer attached to it.
So 70s. Right? So 70s. And speaking of that wonderful decade, Liz Morgan is running the controls over there.
She's in her 70s.
A product of that.
We've never told anybody that before, have we?
She's a product of the 70s. I didn't mean she was well into her 70s.
Product.
73.
Willard Scott just announced her birthday on the Today Show this week. No. Liz, how you doing? I'm sorry about that.
I feel like I have never left this place.
Tell me about it, Kylie.
Too. Me too. And she's brought with her that cantankerous old, just the thing that annoys us week after week, that computer that I wish it, all we have to do is unplug it, but yet we plug it in every week. That is Sal 5000.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Wow. This room getting dumber?
I think so. Not me, because you know what I'm over here doing.
No kidding. So, all right. Yeah, we got some records here, and we've also got friends over at nameonanything.com.
Yeah, we do.
What is it?
Listen up, you commie bastards, and you listen up good. Oh, you want to put your name on a t-shirt? Huh? Of course you do, maggot. Well, you can either go cry to your mama, or you could man up and go to nameonanything.com. Aww. Did somebody's little feelings get hurt, huh? Well, then get yourself a snot rag and a crying towel from nameonanything.com. They can make you one with a cute little puppy on it for your boo-fucking-hoos, little bitch boys. Or how about a personalized coffee mug to collect your little sissy teardrops in? Oh. You look like the type who likes unicorns, right? Oh. Right? Then go ahead and tell nameonanything.com to put a damn unicorn on it for all I care. It's what they do. Nameonanything.com, are you listening? I said nameonanything.com.
You'll save 10%. You'll save 10%. Stop yelling. You'll save 10% if you mention Shabby Road Record Show when you contact them. I'm sorry, Ryan. I'm so scared.
We should take about 5 minutes and have a beer or something. Sorry, Ryan.
That makes me feel better already. Right, all right, yeah. Nameonanything.com. We got records
Proud
here.
Sponsors, sponsors.
We are doing... We're doing our one record a man this week. We're not doing the three records each. We're just doing one. Heading back out on the road with Louis Prima Jr. and playing in Asbury Park in
New Jersey. Yeah. And we lost. You know, we came home to get some recording done, and we had to do a few shorter shows anyway to make up for some of our tour dates. And of course, we come together and the power goes out, so we lose.
We lost another week.
Yeah, so it's like fuck.
So another one of these short shows, but lots of good feedback on the shorter shows, which I'm pleased to see. Yeah, but we love the three records each.
More it's, beers. Are
it's
involved.
2 hours long of just us as we go. It gets a little crazier.
Shane Paisley likes them.
Shane Paisley, yeah, shout out to him. So let us know if you like those. You know, if it's kind of cool to get feedback from you guys. So just one each, and now I'm celebrating 1980 because this is episode 180. I got one from 80.
The only thing I had to celebrate in 1980 was the fact I was still alive, Ryan.
Somehow.
Musically, I was
against all odds.
Yeah, yeah. I was detaching myself from music at that point in time, just going, what is going on here? What is going on?
All right. Well, Liz has the two playing cards. Who's going to be the first one to pull one out of her bosom? I mean, pull a record out of the mystery
box.
Out of
the box, if you will.
Yes.
Bosom box, whatever.
Yes. I conflated the two usual things that I say. I guess you picked last week, right? In 79?
I do believe
so. I'll go Sinister Hand left.
Red.
I'll take it.
It's your turn, AD.
Well, alrighty.
On the red side of the room.
Does that mean he's sinister?
He is sinister, yes.
You. The band that I have brought, the selection I have brought in the tiny box, has been the subject of a question recently during one of our happy hour episodes.
Oh.
During Luscious Liz's rock and roll quiz.
Is that so?
Yes, it has. If I pose the question, see if you guys can remember it. It was the band who had been together for the longest continual time with the same members.
Doublesy!
Doublesy! Doublesy! And this band, that was from 1970, by the way, till currently they're still together and touring and recording.
I do. The double Z's is not the answer, right?
It's not the answer. No, I sure wants to be.
I remember what it was.
Golden Earring.
Golden Earring.
Yeah.
And these band, of course, is the original sufferers of the golden earring syndrome, of course. I brought the one and only golden earring, and I brought their legendary...
The one and only.
Moontan album. I'm not done with this record. You're going to hear every fucking track on this by the time my playing record days are done.
This old thing.
Oh, that is one of the... that's the second run. That's the first run of the new covers, because the old cover... The British release, the European release, had a naked woman on it. Nudity, like, yeah. Boobage. And so American went, no.
Boobilatures?
Yes. Yes.
Boobilatures.
So now this is, you know, now whether you consider them Nordic, Scandinavian, or just plain old European, this band is still, to me, one of the coolest fucking bands around. I love this band. I love this band.
I do too.
So I brought their classic.
They're okay.
Glad they're better than okay, Mr.
They are a poor man's Blue Oyster Cult.
You know, the thing is, here's... Okay, now, I address that in here. 1973, of course, was Moontan, is the record we're talking about.
I have that record. I have this record.
Most people should have this record.
It's good.
It's the... Zero Plane. It is the X marks the spot of the golden earring syndrome song. Side one, track one is, of course,
Radar Love.
Yeah. Now Tiresome Radar Love. I love that song.
Thank you, White Lion.
Right? You know, but if you're at a gig somewhere and goes, do you know Radar Love? It's like, I'll play that. That's fun. Nobody ever gets that right.
It's like Smoke on the Water.
Right? But yeah, so, but okay, so what I do and have for the last few years, when I put that record on side one, I just skip track one and go straight to Candy's Going Bad. And then
Candy's Going Bad is their best song.
Right? And then after that, you got Vanilla Queen on that. So you flip it over. Mm-hmm. Side two is two songs. You got Big Tree, Blue Sea, and then you got Are You Receiving Me? And that's the one I'm playing. It's one of my films. Yeah. And
well,
I'm leaving that alone. You can add.
That's the one with Sheila.
Sheila
Comedy.
Yes.
I think I've used these before. I
gotta get absolutely. A new patch. Yes, right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, listen. Okay, so, you know, blah, 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 blah. Same lineup. You got Barry Hay on vocals, flute and sax, Ryan. You got the great George Kooymans on guitar. I'm amazed he's not one of your favorite guitar players. I really am.
There's nothing I can say about this band that I go, oh, I don't like them because of dot, dot, dot. I just feel, on the whole, pound for pound, song for song.
Could do without them. There's nothing that hits any of your buttons.
The buttons are not exactly... some of them are depressed.
All right.
But not all of them. Whereas they remind me so much of Blue Oyster Cult, and I love Blue Oyster Cult so much that I have a harder time kind of getting into these guys, because I'm like, Blue Oyster Cult is doing what you're doing way better.
Well, Blue Oyster Cult has more energy, first of all, I think. And these guys can tend to get a little bit more jammy, which I understand, right? A lot of people say that the big hook that you want them to keep getting to is kind of missing, right? And I get that. Yeah, I hear you. Moo moo, quack quack, whatever. but to me,
I love that
phrase. Right? But to me, I don't know why. Well, I kind of know why. But to me, there's always something very cool happening on this record, especially, and so many of their other records that, you know, I totally agree that they can get jammy. But it's never like noodly jammy.
No.
Right? Like,
I'll
like
grant
that,
you that.
Like
it's
that goddamn Grateful fucking Dead band. Like noodle fucking, right? For an hour. Just like, fuck,
yes.
Stop.
Oh
fuck.
God.
Somebody stop playing.
It's like a you giant know, plate of spaghetti.
For fuck's sake, right?
It's so noodly.
And then that new suck clone of theirs who's the fish. The fish?
Just fish.
Yeah, the fish. So, and but then, so they get all jammy. But to me, what these guys do is they break it down. When instead of going full jammy and like, okay, we're going to noodle more, they stop and boom, 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 boom. They get Grand Funk Railroad where it's just completely stripped down to nothing. And then they rebuild the song again. Now, what I think also hooked me, and I think what made me a fan for life of Golden Earring was that incredible night at the Baltimore Civic Center in 1974.
Okay.
When me and Jeff and Bob Levy and Mott Mm-hmm. Went and saw, of course, fucking Golden Earring, mm-hmm. opening for Black Oak, Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh,
that's opening for Fog Hat, the Frog Hats. God damn it. Dude. God damn it. That was still...
You love those bands so much to this day.
That was one of the greatest concerts.
Over 45 years, like 45 years ago almost.
Dude, the energy in that room, them Frog Hats, oh, they were playing that. Speaking of, I mean, Chuck Berry, too, they were playing that song.
Maybelline
so damn fast. You'd think it was fucking Slayer or Motorhead. Like, come on. But this Golden Earring, though.
And they were the first band.
They were the yep, and Radar Love had just kind of started hitting the charts. But I was there to see the Frog Hats and the Black and Jim Dandy Chicken Song song, right?
Sure, you were.
So, and we got there early because I'm like, okay, Golden Earring's playing. Let's get there early. So, we get there. You know, $5.50 for the ticket. $5.50. Thanks.
Wow. Yes.
Thank you, 1974.
Thank you so much.
Right? Yeah. 73, I'm sorry.
Ticket prices didn't get too nutty until like the 90s and late 90s, right?
Right. Because
I remember my Kiss ticket from 86 was $8.50 or
really
$12.50.
Yeah. Then there's all the ticket agencies kind of took over at that point in time. Right. So, okay, so you pay $5.50 to see that. And Golden Earring comes on. And we're all like, okay, Radar Love fuckers. Right, welcome to Baltimore. What the fuck? What do you got? Right? Uh-huh. All right, fucking come on.
So you got your arms folded.
Dude.
You're kind of ready to turn your back.
Black Oak, Arkansas t-shirt on. Like, read this.
Was it just Jim Dandy's package on that t-shirt?
Dude, but I'm free, yeah. And of course, you know, I'm a kid, so I'm 14 at the time. So I'm front row. You know, they let some little kid, and I'm weaseling through. So I'm front motherfucking row, dead center. Mm. And Golden Earring comes on. We're like, what the fuck? Come on, what do you got? And they're like, fucking pow, goose, 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 karate chop, judo flip. And they're like, well, fuck you. We're Golden Earring, motherfuckers, dude. They owned that place. I didn't know who they were except for the Radar Love.
It was like one of those nights where you can feel them work, just winning people over.
The whole place fell in love with them. And I'm like, you know, looking at them just going, these guys are a great fucking band.
Touring in support of this album?
Yes.
Which is called what?
Moontan.
Moontan, yeah.
And still to this day, that's one of my all-time favorite concerts. I've been to a lot of concerts, you know. But these guys are the shit. Now, listen. Listen. Thanks, Paul. Paul gets it. Actually, that's kind of the theme of the song. This band isn't trying to change the world with their fucking music, right? They're just a rock and roll band from Holland. They're doing what they've always done since 65 their first record came out, right? They're just putting out records and touring, shampoo, rinse, repeat.
Heard that record, shampoo, rinse, repeat.
Right? Yeah.
Touring on that one.
But that's their biggest selling record, Moontan, and that was 73.
It's got Radar Love on it.
But they're still putting records. As a matter of fact, last time Steve Seaborg was here, episode 160, he gifted us, his two selections were two different records, and he gifted me, he brought Tits and Ass, their new record.
It's called
2012, it's called Tits and Ass.
And it's good.
It's a good, dude, it's a Golden Earring fucking record.
Yeah.
It's like when they interviewed Angus Young in that one thing, and like, rumor has it, or the critics, your critics, Angus Young, are saying that AC/DC has just put out 15 of the same exact record. And he sits back with his drink and his cigarette, he goes, oh, that's not true. It's 16, you know? And Golden Earring's still putting out fucking Golden Earring records, man. And I like, listen, everybody's got to have a band they can get high to.
Well, not everybody.
These are my guys. These are my guys.
Okay.
Right? The golden earrings, man.
So I feel like we're going on a journey, AD. Are you playing an older, like a long song?
I'm
going
to play side two, track two, Are You Receiving Me? Now, let me kind of give you
boy.
No. This is really cool. It's not that long. But it's really cool. The lyrics are great. And the song becomes, if you understand what the song is about, kind of becomes a cool journey. Lyrically, the first verse goes, if your circles could be spirals and your idols weren't machines, if you could pick up all the signals and flash on where you've been. In other words, what he's saying is, if you weren't so fucking hung up on all this bullshit in your head and
like
look
technology,
back, you, like just anything,
machines,
it was metaphoric.
Like,
if your idols weren't machines, maybe you watched too much TV or, oh shit, my Mac's getting low.
Your Mac's getting, well, just finish your segment, buddy.
So, in other words, if you weren't so hung up on all this bullshit and if you'd actually reflect on your problems, now it could be addiction. It could be somebody who watches maybe too much TV or believes too much in technology. It could be a relationship. In other words, you're so hung up on these things. If your circles could be spirals, you see things so differently. You know,
you would see, turn your phone off.
Yeah. Right. So, and then, if you could pick up all the signals, if you would open your fucking eyes, you'd pick up all the signals and flash as to where you've been, right? It's Bean.
Yes.
So the pre-course, maybe you don't feel it at all. Like maybe a heroin junkie or something. It's your own fault. Crawl, boy, crawl. You could quit the miming, tried some different timing. You could get a chance to be free. In other words, you're faking it. You're bullshit. And we're calling you out on this. So if you're an addict, it's like, dude, you're sick.
You're a poser.
You're sick. Or dude, you're a junkie and you're saying you're not. You're miming. You're fake. We know you're a junkie. Just admit it, right? Just say you are.
Okay.
Right? So they're calling them out. And then the chorus, which is great, it's, are you receiving me? And then they answer back with, it's the pilot's plea. Like, can you fucking hear me? Like, Tommy, is anyone in? Or, yeah. You know, hello? Is there anybody in there?
Me?
Yeah. So, are you receiving me? It's the pilot's plea. Are you receiving me? Close to insanity. Are you receiving me? Recharge your battery. Are you receiving me? And they're like, get your shit together, dude, is basically what this song is about. And it says, if your prayers could all be answered and you were given time to pay, in other words, everything that you... You know, everything that you owed, if you had a chance to come clean, you know, the chances, and then it goes, the chances would be so heavy that you'd find a better way. In other words, I got this. Instead of just all you have to do is say you're sorry or repent or pay back what you owe or whatever, mm-hmm. come clean in whatever the situation is or get clean or whatever. Time to pay, by the way. That was Richie Blackmore has a new wig time-sharing company called Time to Pay. You were given time to pay.
Your time to pay is crooked.
Yes. Order now.
The new toupee from Richie Blackmore, the time to pay.
Yeah. But so I just think that really the way this thing, the song unfolds lyrically, and then they kind of break it all down. Like it
like
takes
they're
you through.
Off to do. And
well, yeah, yeah. And I think what it metaphorically, musically, is that the person they're talking to is sitting there thinking. You know, sometimes you can get through to somebody and they go, I know, I'll get clean. And then they stop their bullshit for a while. So the song breaks down and it slowly builds back up and
is
becomes more frantic.
Is there an obvious drug reference?
No, but I'm not saying it could be a relationship with your son or your lover or
basically you're trying to intervene in someone's life and they agree with you and yet they do not make any adjustments in their lives.
Someone who's fucking something up and they go, "Yeah, I know." But then you go, "Are you shake them by the lapels? Are you listening? Are you receiving me?
Right.
Are you getting this?
Oh, this is cool.
It's the pilot. It's the pilot's plea. I love that line. I think that's
the pilot.
The pilot. Like what's the when all hell's breaking loose and the plane is going down? Are you SOS? Are you receiving me? When you're crashing?
Oh, okay.
And he's on that radio.
Or he's in danger. Yeah.
Are you receiving me?
Yeah.
Dude, right? Okay. So it's a crisis thing, and it's cool how the song musically breaks down to where, you know, after the mayhem, are you receiving, you know, boom, there's that silence, and you're kind of sitting alone in your room. You, it could be from the point of view of the person, like, I'm glad you're clean, or I'm glad you've, you know, come to your senses, because I can rest now. you know. And,
oh.
Right?
So the song will end in sort of a resolving.
No, it builds back up again. Cause it's, you never really get clean, man.
Come on.
So anyway, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little bit of Golden Earring from the Moontan record, 1973, a song called Are You Receiving Me, written by the incredible George Kooymans, Barry Hay, and John Fenton. Ryan, it's MCA Records and Polydor. And mine's on track, the original.
Yeah, you got the original.
Well, it's actually the second run, the first of the second run in the U.S. That's an old one you got right there in your hand. That's an original, buddy. So,
oops.
Yep, scratch it up. Yeah, throw it on the old Morgan and fire it up.
Are you receiving me?
right?
You've made me want to investigate those albums again that I haven't heard in a long time.
I love that record. I love that record. A lot has to do with that concert. I got to tell you. But there's something that has always endeared me about them. And, you know, there's that. And then they had the one, When a Bullet Hits a Bone. But that didn't sell nearly as many copies as this one did. So this was their big hurrah in Murica.
Well, the one thing that I was reminded of in that breakdown section, as you called it, was their ability to kind of build that tension. And they do that in When the Bullet Hits the Bone. There's a live acoustic-y version of that. Twilight Zone, yeah, thank you. A golden earring record. I remember...
Note if you will.
That was one of the things that turned me on to Golden Earring is that Twilight Zone song and the building of it, like, you kind of see that happening in the track you played as well.
Yeah, and you know, the track that precedes this one on side two, you know, the opening track side two, Big Tree Blue Sea, is another, you know, 8-minute opus, but it's really a cool tune, you know.
They have long songs.
They do, but they don't wander. That's the thing. Like, if it was the fucking Grateful Dead's... I know. See, that's the thing. Some people, a lot of people disagree with me on that. Yeah. I love this band. They proved, they showed me in Baltimore.
One of your films.
I love this band. So thank you for hanging with me. If you don't like Golden Earring, whatever. I can't help you. But you know, thanks for hanging with me on this. I love this band, you know, a lot.
There's not much to disagree with on everything you've said. But I feel like I one of the things I said to you while we were listening to it is that I probably should pay more attention to the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not printed in the lyrics leave on mine or anything like that. So maybe there is something, because you really broke it down in a cool manner there that made me appreciate that song.
And the way that when that breakdown came, you know, it started with just, you know, the breakdown they hit and was just rock bottom, nothing but bass.
Rock bottom.
Right, yeah. They should have played rock bottom. It would have been a better record. But, you know, it takes it and it builds it up and slowly builds the tension again. And then the guy's back to, are we going through this again? Are you receiving me? You know, and it ends with the chorus. So it really does tell a story. And I like when a band can write that into a song.
Sure.
And lyrically, it's very sparse. There's only two very short verses in it, pre-chorus and a chorus, like three times in there. But with all that building and such sparse lyrics, but the lyrics take on a big meaning. And I think that whole break, that whole musical break that would have been left out of FM radio.
Yes.
Well, of course.
Is really the song.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about them. Because they don't get just jammy.
It builds.
Retell the lyrics.
Or reset, yeah, okay.
You know, musically reset, and I think they're really good at that, and I get really high when I listen to Golden Earring. Maybe.
Who hurt you?
Maybe that's it. That's it. That goddamn concert.
All right, we're moving on now. Okay, well, this is episode 180, yes. Liz. We are now entering a new decade.
Oh, I was going to say I can't wait.
You can totally wait.
I can wait. I can completely wait.
1980. What a year. I mean, we're still in the 70s, right? I mean, in many ways, we're still... I said on the previous podcast that, you know, the 80s really don't begin until the middle of 83.
I'm nearly dead at that time. I'm clinging to life.
In 80 or 83? 83, 80. I think you're... Oh, I thought it was 83.
I met you in 81.
How was I?
Very much alive.
That was all right.
Ashley was born just a few months after I met you.
That was a wreck.
Well, anyway, so I'm going to a band, just like I did in 79. If you recall, I brought the Warriors.
Yes.
And I wanted to kind of make this balance of, like, we are looking back towards the 70s, but yet we're looking forward. And in this one, I want to look back, and yet we're looking forward.
So if the 80s were a swimming pool, we're just dipping our toe in
exactly.
At this point in time.
Exactly.
Checking the water, if you will.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to get full 80s until, like, 88.
That's when you're, your balls actually touch the water. 87.
Yeah, that's when you're full on in. The balls are in there. Yeah, the
balls are in the water.
And you're shocked.
84.
Oh,
84.
Right? Ooh, it's tough. That's a tough era.
Oh, you lost me.
And I don't have too many records. I may have to go to the record store and seek out 88.
You can come to my house.
Oh, okay. I need to go to... Liz is going to take over.
You know
for
what I'm
going to
do? I'm gonna,
we should have Liz do her records then.
I'm going to actually take a tally. How many actual 1988 records I own? And I bet it's none.
You've played some stuff from the 80s. Over this last year.
There might be some stuff from the Mott collection, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a band that the heyday of this band was the 1970s. Early 1970s. They've fallen on hard times, AD. Mm-hmm. But yet they somehow managed to cobble together, despite losing the two principal members of the band, a surprisingly good record. And the two principal members of the band were two people that launched MTV, which would shape the 1980s. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Video Killed the Radio Star?
Yeah, it's a song.
What was the band?
It was called The Buggles.
The Buggles.
What?
Oh, Mike Batt.
No, do you know what band they joined? The two principal dudes in that band? What old 70s band? What old 70s prog rock band?
I knew that somehow. Tangerine Dream or something
You're close.
Ambrosia.
Liz, no? Okay.
It's like,
people are screaming at their phones. I know that. 1980. This album is actually a very good album. Believe it or not, it is an album that features half of the Buggles and 3/5 of Yes. It is Drama.
Oh.
Drama. Drama by Yes. And believe me, there was a lot of drama going on in this camp. Here you go, AD. Take a look at that.
I don't believe I've ever...
Great artwork. A great packaging, you know. Yes is at the top of their game, right? You know, at this juncture. I mean, they're hugely popular, and he's looking at the gatefold and looking at the outfits, and we are ready for the 80s.
We are. Oh, God.
Yeah, new wave is definitely coming in at this point. Now, AD is so upset.
Wow.
Yeah, look at Steve Howe.
I can't.
Excuse me.
Steve Howe.
Why?
Steve, what?
Okay, so let's get us to this album, Drama by Yes. August 1980 on Atlantic. We got the 1978 album Tormato from Yes.
Tormato.
Yes. And
let's call the whole thing off.
Yes. Hugely successful, right? I mean, America loved their Yes. From 77, 78, you know, into 79.
Yes.
And it's just huge, right? You know, Tormato, though, not a good Yes record. Sorry for the Yes fans out there, but that's not the best Yes record. Although it contains the song called Onward, which is one of my favorite Yes songs of all time. Chris Squire. Just amazing. But that record is spotty at best. And have you ever heard Tormato?
I have it, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right?
I got it just because I wanted to fill in the gap.
Right, exactly. And you can find it for like a dollar.
Yeah, well, it's kind of in the right bin.
It shows you how big Yes was in America, because we can find Going for the One and Tormato for in the dollar bin all day long, right? So, you know, you always hear these stories about these bands, right, where their number one complaint is that, you know, we were just working so hard. We were doing an album, doing a tour, doing an album, doing a tour.
Well, they owed a lot of money.
And the one thing is, like, if we only got just a six-month break, we would have came back and refocused our energy and been a better band, right? You've heard that story 100 times.
Well, the record label is they're going, get out and make our money. We put a lot, we spent X amount you're on under, this record. You owe us a lot of money. Yes. You get out there and you fucking work. Well, we need a break. Fuck you with a break.
You have a contract.
Yep. You get out there and sell more records and more t-shirts. And now you're going to Australia.
Well, Yes had gotten to the point where they could take a break. And they were one of the few bands that proves this rule that, no, just play as much as you can and get as much done as you can. Because when Yes came back from their break, they hated each other.
Right, yeah. A body in motion tends to stay in motion.
Right, just keep working. Yeah. No, they kind of lost it. They took their break. Writing sessions started, and you got two camps. You got Rick Wakeman. You got John Anderson. Rick Wakeman, of course, the keyboard player. John Anderson, the singer. And then you got the other dudes. You got your Alan White on drums. Amazing drummer. Chris Squire, the aforementioned Chris Squire. And Steve Howe. And Steve Y.
Oh, man. Steve, you know,
and
Billy,
Steve,
why not?
And Steve Ware.
Yeah.
And
Rick Ware pretty soon.
So anyway, so the three dudes versus the two dudes. And the three dudes wanted to rock. They wanted to get a little bit heavier. They're probably hearing the new wave of British heavy metal and seeing how things
are
going.
Have you heard about this band called Judas Priest?
You're right, yeah, right? And Rick and John are kind of doing this bit where they're kind of doing the old English folk, the wondrous stories.
Songs from the Wood, if you will.
Yeah, they're kind of doing that English folk thing. And so they're at Loggerheads, I guess you would say, right?
I've had that beer. It's delicious.
Loggerheads is a great name for a beer. So they get a producer on board that's going to help sort things out. Roy Thomas Baker.
Of course. Of Queen fame.
Famous producer.
Right.
He sides with Chris Allen and Steve and
the
heavier side
of
things.
Of course. That's what's going on.
Right. Yeah. And these guys, these sessions were so contentious, apparently.
No, they weren't.
These sessions were so contentious.
No, they weren't.
I've read that these sessions were contentious.
You can't even read. No, you didn't. You're making shit up.
Is that the end of scene?
That's pretty much shut up, you idiots. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So now John and Rick just go drinking because they're so fed up with now it was three, now it's four because Roy Thomas Baker's like, yeah, let's rock. And they were ignored. Like, there's these factions and they're ignoring.
I shan't be in the studio when Rick is there.
Chris Allen, Steve, and now Roy Thomas Baker is like,
who's taking record label money?
So session starts at 10 a.m. Let's just not show up until like 2:30 or 3 because I don't want to hear their bullshit. I don't hear their new folk song. Yeah. I want to hear your wondrous stories. Fuck that.
Brave Sir Robin.
Yeah. We don't want that. Even the producers, like, fuck off. So John and Rick just are like, this is not for us. You know, and then they're sobbing on each other's shoulders, you know. And just not. Oh, Sal, come on. And so this is all happening in 79 after the tour, right? So they had their break after the tour, and now we're coming up against the holidays. Like, we're in November, and of course there's a story I've told on the podcast before where the drummer, Alan White, breaks his foot roller skating with Richard Branson. And who doesn't have that story?
I know I have.
I know I've broken my foot roller skating.
Richard.
With Richard Branson.
What a skater.
You know, we've all been there.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to head on down to the roller rink and roll your blues away,
yes,
right?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So they go on holiday for the, you know, Christmas and all that stuff, and they get back together. All right, let's get on the same page, you guys, but no, it's not happening. In March, they break up. It's over. There is no Yes. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
I'm taking my bat. No, I'm taking my ball.
Meanwhile, a rehearsal space. You know, you ever been to Francisco's in downtown Phoenix where there's a bunch of rehearsal spaces?
Oh, yeah.
I used the cheapest one possible, but I'm sure Yes was using, what's the one in L.A.? Yeah, SIR.
Yeah.
Is the Buggles. Video killed the radio star, right? Keyboard player Jeff Downs and singer Trevor Horn are the two dudes behind the Buggles. And they're like huge fans of Yes. And they go and they start hanging out with Chris, Alan, and Steve. The three guys that want to go heavier.
Hey, Yes guys, I hear you're looking for some players.
Right. And they actually hit it off, and I think they kind of brought them in like, well, you know, once it became evident that Rick and John are leaving, you know, they brought them in like, can you sing? Can you sing this right here in our little studio? Can you sing it? You sound a lot like John. You, over there with the keyboard.
Be like that guy.
You sound like Rick.
Yeah.
I think we have a new Yes here. And so they even flew in the guy from Atlantic Records. Is it Armit?
Armit Erdogan?
Yes, yeah. That guy. He flew in to kind of sit with his arms folded like
money.
You at the Golden Earring concert going, well, what do you got, new Yes?
Yeah.
And he went, no, I can see this will work.
It's his dough, man.
Right.
He's ahead of the label.
And let's get you guys into the studio. I mean, still, like,
quick before there's a lawsuit.
Well, quick before we lose this momentum of you guys coming off that tour and all that other stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and the press is going to have a field day with it.
March is when Rick and John leave. This album comes out in August.
What? Wow.
Yeah, they got it.
Get this shit done now.
They got
huh?
it out.
That includes artwork and mastering. I mean, so you don't just go into the studio one day and come out, okay, here's our record.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot. You got to assemble it, and there's packaging, plus there's shipping, distribution.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Just like how we do our podcast. There's shipping and distribution.
Yeah. Well, yes.
So the album drops in August. It gets a lot of positive reviews. People are like, huh, interesting. But the big problem is they hit the road with Jeff and Trevor.
They wet the bed?
Mixed.
Didn't go well.
Mixed reviews on the tour. The problem is, I mean, Rick Wakeman. Who doesn't know that dude? Like,
yeah, the Buggles guy. Hey, lose your fucking big ass giant goofy glasses, Buggles man.
Yeah, and is that Trevor? I think that's Trevor.
I don't know, one of them.
The singer.
That up, you know, with the big cartoon glasses.
Yeah, and so now he's John Anderson. The beloved John Anderson and the beloved Rick Wakeman, you know.
Rick Wakeman with his cape.
Yeah, where's my cape?
Yeah, if you don't have a cape and long blonde Jesus hair, then you're just not Rick Wakeman, are you?
And Trevor's wife, I read too, like Trevor's wife was even going, you're not really a front man. I mean, this isn't for you.
Right.
This isn't where you want to. Why are you doing this? Because Trevor,
what are you doing?
Because Trevor Horn is actually a very skilled producer and writer. So, like, he is not like a
performer
like a Alex Harvey or, you know, coming out there and like basically standing there.
The stage is not his stage. The stage is a studio. His
right.
His world is a.
Yeah. And his wife even suggested, like, no, just go back to producing.
Yeah.
Don't do this anymore. And that's what he did. And that was kind of the end of it. Like, yes, officially.
Well, I shall leave you and take half of everything you've ever been worth. I love you, darling.
You should be the angry wife. I'm Trevor Horn. And the tour's going pretty well.
Darling, listen.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say this nicely.
Okay.
You're horrible. At what they're making you do.
How dare you?
I'm embarrassed for you.
No.
I'm embarrassed for
you. It can't be.
It is, and you shan't.
I feel a little bit uncomfortable.
You look like a Ponzi twit. And you're embarrassing me. And if you don't stop it, my lawyer will contact you, and I will own half of your little pantaloons and your goofy little elf shoes and your capes. Oh, that's right. You don't wear them because you're not cool like the other guy. So you need to stop this now. No, I'm not angry. Oh, no. I'm not angry.
You seem
very angry right now.
Oh, no, I'm not angry.
But I'm having the time of my life. We've sold out two nights at Madison Square Garden.
Come home, darling. Just come home.
All right. I'll be there straight away.
Actual phone records of the
she's
conversation.
She's seething. She's got a knife behind her. No, I'm not angry. Yeah.
I liked how the British version is so much nicer than the American.
Yeah, wait a minute. Fuck you, you motherfucker.
All right. So what happens, of course, is that Trevor Bales, Jeff Downs, and Steve Howe stay together and form Asia with a guy called, I'm sorry, I can't really read. From ELP.
Oh.
And what's his name? John Wetton,
yes.
I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And Asia. You ever listen to Asia?
See, the wet the bed thing, John Wetton.
Wow. See. Look at you. See. See?
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 And the other yes men went over to, that's Chris and Alan, went over with back to John and did 90125.
Yep.
You know, it took a while to get there, but, you know.
They lost me during that whole thing. I was done with them, you know, after the 70s run.
Have you ever heard this album, though?
This one, no, I haven't. But so this was the gap, the 90210, what is that?
90125.
Yeah, the TV show.
Yeah.
I know.
That one, I couldn't get into that one.
That's a good record.
So that one, this one came directly before that one?
This one is well before that one by 3 years.
Yeah.
It took a while to get Asia Underground,
after
working.
The Tormato thing.
Tormato is a record that would be the end of the run.
I was pretty much done with I haven't really heard, except for the 90210 thing or whatever.
Yeah. Right. So I'm going to play a song that is an epic. So you played an epic on our last 1 hour show, and I'm playing an epic called Machine Messiah.
Okay.
Which is a masterpiece, really. An
if
album.
Your idols were machines. Coincidental?
You were talking about the Golden Earring song, I'm like, wow, we have got the idols of machines here. And then that is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, indecipherable yes lyrics as per usual. But that's kind of what the thing is about, praying to machines. Mostly about television, being the era 1980, but now it still holds true because it's even worse with cell phones and the things that we have.
Right. Getting a 6-year-old Marley, you can't get him off
right.
YouTube and whatever.
What you'll hear when I drop the needle on this is that, holy shit, I never heard Steve Howe play that heavy. And Alan White is crushing it on this song.
Okay.
Now, it's yes. So we're going to go on these little jags of a little too poppy for what the song demands.
Okay.
A little almost cheesy. But when they break back into what one can only describe as the sort of machine part of the song, which is what you hear first, and then there's several
sort of
recalls.
Back to the root of
it.
Of the tune, right?
Yeah. Those are freaking amazing.
All right.
And the interplay between the new members of the band, like Jeff Downs, is crushing it. You know, and the band sounds absolutely on fire. Remember, they wanted to rock like this.
Yeah. They now
and
they're
they wanted to
and
lose
they...
the wondrous stories. Folk stuff
right.
that John and Rick were wanting to do.
Come hither, come yon, come hither, come yon.
So that's what I want everybody to think about when they hear right. this for the first time. But it's an experience, you know, that
okay.
we're kind of everywhere on here. And the interplay between all the members of the band is really extraordinary. You know, it's prog rock. You
well,
know?
Okay, with that little pitch there, having... Got that 9-2-3-1-2 album, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that one. And I've got that. It's sitting on that shelf, and I just go, I just don't like it. I don't like it. Right? Like,
too poppy?
I just too of that time. And to me, it was very contrived, Yes album, and it was just, yeah. They were pulling out all the studio tricks that were so cliche at the time, and they stopped being Yes because I think they lost their adventurousness.
Of course, yeah. So, this album, even Drama, does not carry the torch of Close to the Edge.
After I'd kind of abandoned Yes, and then since I didn't, you know, you don't hear from them. Until the 90210 record, right? Or whatever it's called. I don't know. What's it called?
90125.
Five. Yeah. And so there's that gap. So if this thing rocks, you know, Yes might sell another record.
Okay. Used. It does rock, but you got to look out. You're gonna give me a side kind of head shake.
Like a dog, like a German
on some of the things. But you'll be. It's remarkable how much it actually sounds like John Anderson singing.
Yeah,
because you got Chris Squire singing harmony,
yeah.
And a smart move that they made is have plenty of the vocals harmonized with Chris Squire.
Oh yeah,
so it sounds like Yes.
So
put
Chris in there as often as you can.
Yeah, that's my feeling on the record, and it's hit and miss, but it's really exciting. And if you're a fan of Alan White, AD, you should definitely own this album.
Absolutely, okay.
He crushes on this album. So let's drop it. Side one. Track one, Machine Messiah,
okay.
An epic from the album Drama, my one from 1980.
Cables that Machine, Machine Messiah, the mindless, search for a higher controller. Take me to the fire and hold me. Show me the strength of your singular eye.
And the machines took over right there.
Wow. I really like that.
Nice.
That was really good. That's as good as any Yes stuff I've ever heard.
The band is firing on all cylinders, surprisingly, despite the loss of John Anderson and Rick Wakeman. I mean, they're just like, all right, well, we got the Buggles.
Yeah.
And the Buggles are like, we freaking love Yes. And we will get into this Yes thing right now.
We're in Yes. I'm so in Yes. What do you want me to do, Yes, guys?
Right.
Yeah.
How great is Alan White on drums and Chris Squire on the bass?
They're just so locked in, man. It's
ridiculous. Ridiculous. And Steve Howe has never been heavier.
Yeah.
Right? He is.
Well, you know, they were making a lot of money. He was eating well.
He joined Mountain.
He was off the coke. He was off the blow.
He was actually in Grim Reaper for a while because he was so heavy. Jeez. yeah, so that is Drama, the Yes album that everyone should just at least investigate.
I am. Thank you for turning me on to that.
Sometimes
one,
it gets a little cheesy.
I had broken up with them.
Side one, very solid. Side two starts with a song that I do not like called Into the Lens. A little too cheesy.
Yeah,
a little too many Buggles creep into that one.
But for a couple $99, you listen to side one and you say fuck you side two.
Yeah, in the States, these Drama by Yes is like $3.99, $2.99.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
That song alone, man, that's great.
Oh, hell yeah. That's one of my favorite Yes songs. It's so heavy and so great.
Never heard it. It's one of mine.
The band. Holy shit. And,
yeah,
and
they're
really,
on fire, dude.
Doesn't it point towards like what prog would be in the 80s and 90s and into today?
You would hope so, but the goddamn
the
machine,
heaviness of the guitars.
But, you know, it's ironic they're talking about the Machine Messiah, and yet the keyboards ruined all of that. A little irony there for you, yes.
True, that's true. Yes, the irony is totally there.
Oh, it's so rich,
but very
it's
much
steeped in irony.
It doesn't necessarily, to me, sound very dated in the world of prog.
No, this doesn't. This particular track doesn't.
Right.
That
you go to 90325
record.
Yes, which is the catalog number for Atlantic Records. That's why it's called that.
Oh, for the love
it's
of God.
It's the catalog number. That does sound dated. But this sounds fresh.
Yeah.
It sounds like what all prog bands are kind of doing now in 2018. So very cool. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here. We got one record each, a couple of epic numbers.
Come on.
I'm
right?
loving these one-hour
it's
shows
kind of
where
fun.
We can
yeah,
get
putting
this,
on the big numbers and
the big numbers, the showstoppers.
Yes.
Let's thank Liz Morgan for running the controls for us
Liz.
Here. Liz, mm-hmm. you've done an awesome job as per usual
thank
back there.
You. Thank you very much.
And she's also brought with her that cantankerous old bag of bolts named Sal 5000.
Fuck!
She did not like Machine Messiah. It was kind of anti Sal 5000 that last song I played.
So it kind of rubbed her the wrong way. She likes getting rubbed the right way.
True. Sorry about that, Sal 5000. I didn't. Machine Messiah. We're kind of wrecking machines today.
Yeah, a little bit.
Makes sense. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us here at the Shabby Road Record Show. If you want to drop by and buy us a round of beers, you can do that.
We encourage that.
We would love that. There's a big frosty mug of beer at our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com. And if you're so inclined, by all means, help us out. And, shop through that Amazon.com banner, too.
Amazon.
You can pick up a copy of Drama. You can pick up a copy of Golden Earring at Amazon.com or become a Prime member and do all that stuff that Amazon does. They're taking over the planet, so we might as well take their money as much as we can.
Yep.
If you click through our website first at ShabbyRoadRecordShow.com, that Amazon banner, it doesn't cost you a penny. It costs Amazon a penny. So
we
come on.
Like
take,
that.
Take it back from the man.
Stick it to the corporation.
And give it back to us to keep the electricity on here at Shabby Road and keep these episodes coming to you free.
Right? Look at us. We're poor. Look.
If you could see us now.
Look at your iPod.
Look at these shoes.
I know.
These are the shoes that I wear and I always get stopped at the airport. They're so old that they have to swab them.
Right.
Like, there's something on these shoes we can't identify.
There's something so foul here. There's something, a chemical that our meters are picking up.
I blame when I accidentally stepped into a swamp in New Orleans.
Probably still.
There's
it'll be
something
there,
in
some
there.
Juju on that.
They keep swabbing my right shoe. Like, there's something that we're picking up.
Well, it ain't no rat no more. That's your wrong shoe. I got a left shoe and a wrong shoe.
So if you enjoyed the show, make sure you share it with a friend. We love it when you do that and get the word out about the podcast. We really appreciate that, and finding us on all the social media outlets, all the big three, you know, the Twitters, the book faces.
NBC, CBS.
And CBS and NBC. And Instagram, of course, at Shabby Podcast.
MySpace.
Did I forget anything? I did it.
Not yet.
I did it. Ah, wow. What a night for me.
You don't write that down ever?
I do now. Yeah, I do. I go, introduce Sal.
Yeah.
Is in my notes now.
Big giant lettering. Yeah.
It better be.
Yes, exactly. Well, the mystery boxes are empty, AD.
Oh, it makes me sad.
So I'm going out the door into the recently haboobed city outside of Shabby. These dust storms that we've had of late have added an extra layer of filth to the bums and an extra layer of grit to the business end of the hookers.
But before
I deal with that rabble, I'll say goodnight to my favorite kind of rabble, the kind that's loud, brash, intoxicated, and surrounded by vinyl. AD Adams.
Well, yes, that's me. You know it. Yeah, that how boobs got sand in my schlitz. But, you know, hey,
schlitz.
There's another fine episode down the drain, for God's sake, and, well, all wrapped up like a douche, another bummer in the night.
Oh, my God.
And since the mystery boxes are indeed as empty as the souls of the Sunny Slope locals, it can only mean one thing. I just can't remember what that is. So let's just pack up the shithole and head out of this den of despair and into the hot desert night with a song in our heart and some bum hurl on our shoes. And to my pal and co-host Ryan McKay, I bid you a sincere and hearty blonde chick's shoe.
Smattering of applause.
I thought I was out of those.
You nailed it. You nailed it that time. You must have your thinking.
A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is fearlessly brought to you by those crazy bastards at nameonanything.com. Use the promo code SHABBY at checkout and save 10% on your order. nameonanything.com.